Welcome. Welcome as we come together for worship here in this place. That's what we do here. When we come each week and we gather together in this worship center, we're coming to call on our triune God, call on his name, and bring him worship. We sing songs and we do all these things. We bring him praise, but what I hope we also see is that in this place, during this time, we receive God's grace and forgiveness for us. That's won for us in Jesus Christ. And so my prayer for you is that this time is a blessing to you. It's a blessing for you as you hear and experience God's love for you that comes in his son Jesus. Today marks the beginning of our last week in Lent. And so we've been going down a journey here. So Lent's this 40-day period in the church year leading to Holy Week. And so next week, as we begin Holy Week with Palm Sunday, we'll be kind of starting something new. And Palm Sunday leads to Maundy Thursday. And Maundy Thursday leads to Good Friday, where we remember Jesus on the cross, looking ahead to Easter, the morning which our Savior Jesus rose from the dead to new life. But before we get to all that, we're still in this season of Lent, so we're continuing on in this time of reflection. Lent's a time where we do slow down a little bit. We slow down, we reflect, and during midweek services, we've been looking at Psalms to really dig in, and the Psalms that we've been looking at are Psalms that we probably don't read on a daily basis. They're Psalms that are a little different, Psalms that really express things, express emotions that we would probably be afraid to express otherwise. There are psalms that express lament, psalms that express anger, psalms that express despair. And during that time, that's given us an opportunity to be honest, speak openly and honestly to our God about this life, because this life often is messy and painful. These words in the Psalms allow us to come to God with words to speak. And then here on Sunday morning, we've been doing this Lenten reflections, looking at different images, photographs. You probably remember some of the things that we've looked at, whether it's Dave above Jesus or disciples falling asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this morning, we continue that series looking at this painting here. I don't know if any of you got a chance to come in early and take a look at it, but we're going to have it blown up on the screen a little bit so you can see it better as well. This painting is actually pretty well known, so you might have seen it before. You may not have, and that's fine. This painting was done by a painter named Salvador Dali, which that name might sound familiar to you. He was a surrealist painter. He painted in the 20th century. And this particular painting is called Christ of St. John of the Cross, which is an odd name for a painting. But really, it's modeled after this drawing from the early church of this friar named John of the Cross. And he drew this drawing of Jesus on the cross, and it's modeled after that. And this painting was done in 1951. This is not the original piece. This one's in my office. This is a replica that was given to me as a gift, and I keep it in my office. I think it's a beautiful piece of artwork that, as I look at it, reminds me of Christ and his work for us. I have to admit, when it was first given to me, I didn't really quite know what to make of it. I think when we look at it, it's pretty obvious what we're looking at. We're looking at the crucifixion scene. But yet there are things about this painting that don't quite fit into what we would normally see in a crucifixion scene when we see Jesus on the cross. In particular, the first thing to know is as we look at the top part of this painting, and it's blown up for you so you can see it a little bit better, we're looking at Jesus from an angle that's very different. We have this extreme angle of looking at Jesus from above. Usually, when we see Jesus on the cross, whether in art or whether we're here in the worship center, when we're looking up at the cross, we're doing exactly that. We're looking up to the cross, right? We're below the cross. We come to the foot of the cross to lay down our sins, right? And yet in this painting, we have a very different angle, a very different view as we look down up at the head of the cross, at the head of Jesus who's being crucified. And we have this dark and black background. We seem to almost be looking at Jesus from another world. Or, you know, we're outside of the earth. We have this dark background that's outside of the earthly part of this image. Now, I have to admit, I am not an art critic. So when we're looking at this painting, I'm not exactly sure what everything means. But I'm going to tell you what I see when I look at this painting. And so when I look at this painting and I see Jesus from this angle, looking down upon him, it strikes me that we are looking at Jesus on the cross from God's perspective, God the Father, looking down upon Jesus on the cross. And so the question for us is, how does that perspective, how does that angle influence or change how we see Jesus on the cross? For me in this painting, as I look at it, it allows me to see things through God's eyes. From above, I look at this painting and I see through God's eyes, and the first thing that I recognize is, through God's eyes, I'm looking down upon the Son of God. God looks down and sees his own Son, his only Son, dying on a cross. And as I was thinking about that, I was brought immediately to Mark 1 that we read this morning as we see this scene of Jesus coming out of the water from his baptism. And we have this unique moment in the scriptures where we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit united in one place. Jesus coming out of the water, being baptized by John, the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and then the heavens tearing open, and we hear a voice. This is my Son. God the Father says, you are my Son, my beloved Son. Son whom I love. And in you I am well pleased. And this isn't the only time in scriptures that we get this expression from God. We can also look to Matthew 17 as Jesus and Peter and James and John ascend this mountain. They come to the top of the mountain and Jesus is changed. Jesus is transformed. He's transfigured. He's brilliant and bright and white. And there he is with Elijah and with Moses. And again, we hear from heaven God's words. This is my Son whom I love. In him I am well pleased. Listen to him. As we look at this painting and we see through God's eyes, we see God's Son, a Son who is dearly loved. We're looking through the eyes of a loving Father. A father who finds no greater pleasure than seeing his son. And I know so many of us are like that. Who likes to go to your kids' baseball games and see them succeed, or ballet and see your daughter succeed? Or we love to see our children. We love them and we find pleasure in them. And that's the view that we have here as God looks down upon a son whom is loved, in whom he is well pleased. It's more than any father should bear to look down upon their child dying. And it makes me think of these words. In this, God showed his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. In this, God showed his love for you and for me. That while we were undeserving, he sent his son, whom he loved, to the cross to die. Now, as we continue to look upon the cross and look upon Jesus here, I don't know if you noticed, but there's something else peculiar about this scene as we look at Jesus. There's something missing. In fact, there's a couple things that are missing. And I don't know, at least it didn't for me, it didn't stand out right away. But as you look at Jesus, notice there's no blood. There's no sweat. There's no crown of thorns. There's no nails. We have this peculiar piece of art, this scene of the crucifixion without any blood or suffering. It's the opposite of what we would expect in a crucifixion scene. And in fact, this particular piece of art has received a number of critics because it has left these things out. It's actually quite a controversial piece of art to leave out the suffering of Jesus. It's something that I think we're pretty familiar with. How many of you have seen The Passion of the Christ? It's a movie that's difficult to watch. It's a movie that displays the very suffering that Jesus went through on our behalf. And it's something that we often want to remind ourselves of as we think of this crucifixion. Speaking of the controversy of the blood and the nails and the crown of thorns, there was a poet who wrote a poem about this particular piece of artwork. And I want to read it to you because it, one, highlights the fact that those things are missing, but two, I think beautifully describes what we see here in this piece of artwork from Salvador Dali. This poem is by Edwin Morgan, and it's entitled the same as the artwork itself, Christ of St. John of the Cross. It goes like this. It's not of this world, and yet it is, and that's how it should be. Strong light hits back and arms, coming from where we cannot see, ought not see, another dimension, for another time. At this time, we share the life of bay and boat with simply painted fishermen who give no amen. Even if clouds, both apocalyptic and real, made them look up and feel what they ought to feel, what they had to feel, of shattering amazement, fear, protection, and a wash of glory, was it an end coming near? Was it a beginning coming near? What happened to the thorns and the blood and the sweat? What happened to the hands like claws, the whipcord muscles? Has the artist never seen Grunewald? I have to tell you, John of the Cross called, said to remind you, light and death once met. Jesus Christ, the very light of the world, once met with death. Now, given the controversy of this painting, Dali defended himself saying that this particular image that we see here was revealed to him in a dream, and that's what he painted. And that very well may be, but when I look at this painting, I want to tell you what I see. What I see is Jesus as a father sees him. I see a Jesus that didn't remain dead, but was resurrected. I see Jesus that was glorified. It's true, he suffered. He bled for us. It's all true. But as God looks at him, as we see through God's eyes, we see his perfect son, that glorified Son of God on that Transfiguration Mountain. That perfect Son, loved by God. And in Him, God is well pleased. I want to transition for a moment and look at the bottom half of the painting. It's hard to see over here, so we put it up there so you can see a little bit better. It's a pretty simple layout. We have a really grand view of Jesus below, and then or above, and then below we have this simple bay of water. This bay of water. There's a couple boats. There's some fishermen tying their nets, or they're just doing their job. And this particular scene actually was. Is a depiction of where Dolly lived in Port Lagat. And I imagine him just looking out his backyard and painting what he saw. It's a simple and mundane part of this painting. And I think that's exactly the point. In it, we see that this bay of water, we see these boats, we see these fishermen, these guys just doing their everyday life. They're doing their mundane tasks. And I think that's a reminder for us. You know, if this painting was done in a different time, in a different place, maybe the bottom half of the painting would be moms driving their kids to soccer practice, or you driving to work, or whatever it is you do in your daily life. They may seem mundane. These are our everyday tasks, things that we do all the time. And yet we do these things. We fulfill our vocations all the time with the knowledge that Jesus died. We do all of those things with that knowledge, knowing who we are because of that. We do all of those things with the knowledge that Jesus died, not in a generic sense for the world and for the universe, but that Jesus, in your everyday life, died for you. He died for me, for the sins that I committed on the way to church this morning. He died for me, for my sins that I'm going to commit on my way back home this afternoon. He died for you and for me. And that's true each and every day throughout all of the monotony of our everyday life. Now, as we look at the painting as a whole, I don't know exactly what you see, but when I look at the painting, I'm drawn into the top and I see down. I see Jesus, and it leads me down to the bottom as I see the bay and I see the people below. God sees us as individuals. He knows you uniquely. He knows you by name. He knows your trouble areas, He knows the things that you're thinking, He knows the very hairs on your head, and He loves you. And on top of that, as God looks to you, if you put your faith in Jesus, if you look up to this Jesus, God is looking through Jesus to you. God sees you through this Jesus lens. And that's how I see this painting. I stare down through Jesus into the world. And that's how God interacts with us. God looks through Jesus and sees in us His Son. And sees in us Christ's righteousness. And it reminds me of Paul's words in Romans 8. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. God made Him, His Son, whom He loved, who knew no sin, to be sin for you, that we might become the righteousness of God. As God sees through his son Jesus into this world. He sees each and every one of us. And he sees you as his son. He sees you as his daughter. And those words that God spoke about Jesus at the baptism of our Lord are therefore true to you and to me as well. As he sees Jesus in you, God says, "This is my son. This is my daughter, whom I love, and in them I am well pleased." Praise be to God through Jesus Christ that our Father sees us as his blameless children because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you that you see us as your children, that through the sacrifice of your risen and reigning Son, Jesus, we can be children of God, that you can see us blameless and holy with the righteousness that only comes from Jesus. We thank you that you see each and every one of us in the mundanes of things of this world. And even in those things, we do those with the knowledge that pushes us on, knowing that Jesus Christ has suffered for us. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, the sacrifice, the resurrection, that we might have life and victory in his name. It is in his name we pray. Amen.